drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. As you enter the room, you're handed a white cane, and then slowly the lights go out, all the way out. And as sound begins flooding in, you'll need to find your way across a busy street, a marketplace, a ferry ride. Dialogue in the Dark is an exhibition that introduces sighted people to the world of the vision impaired. Guides help participants to navigate the unfamiliar situations and help them learn that being blind isn't the end of the world. It's just a different way of experiencing the world that we all live in. Karen Hayes is the CEO of Guide Dogs Victoria, and Maribel Steele is a low vision guide for Dialogue in the Dark. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks very much for having us.
Maribel, when did you begin to lose your sight?
I started to lose my sight around the age of 17, and I'm legally blind is my terminology, but I have discovered personally how wonderful my life without sight has been.
I love that you said that. How wonderful is it? Explain that, because you've just nailed a very important point, which is that people see disability as just straight away, even that, it's a bad thing. It must be terrible for your life, but you're seeing it in a different way.
Absolutely. And it is about that different perspective. So from that age when I knew I wasn't going to be able to see, I obviously had to turn to creating a different future for myself. And I just found that my other senses really kicked in. So I enjoy a very sensory world. And I would say that I love being a touchaholic. I love hearing people's voices, and I connect to people from a heart level. So when you're vision impaired or blind and people see you with a white cane or a guide dog, they will often open up to you from their heart. And that's something you don't get very often, even from strangers on the street. I feel that blindness brings kindness, and that's what I've discovered.
I've got to tell the audience, then the listeners, that as soon as you walked in, you said, "I like the sound of your voice," to me. And it struck me, it was a lovely compliment as well. But the fact that you were engaging on that different level, as you say, using different senses. Karen, is that like a common story that you hear in this community?
Look, it is. And I think, you know, for people like Maribel, it is about embracing the situation and the experience of Dialogue in the Dark, which Maribel is, you know, a key member of the team for that, is really giving us as visitors to Dialogue in the Dark a whole new appreciation of the unique skills that people like Maribel have or other people with a disability, and then really starts to challenge your own personal value systems, your attitudes and your own behaviours around how you interface with people with disabilities. But with somebody with vision impairment, of course, as Maribel has described, they have a whole new appreciation. When your primary sense goes away, your other senses really kick in.
So let's take a step back. What is Dialogue in the Dark? I mean, in terms of the idea, what does it look like?
So, it's complete black. It's an experiential exhibition, which means that visitors to the exhibition will be in complete darkness as they explore some of the iconic sites of Melbourne. So we have recreated five iconic sites and experiences of Melbourne. So when people go in there, they'll be in complete darkness. They'll be guided by somebody who's blind or who has low vision, like Maribel, and they'll have a whole new experience of these iconic sites of Melbourne and really take a walk in the shoes of somebody who is blind or vision impaired.
Why? Why should they take a walk in?
Oh, look, I think Dialogue in the Dark is a fantastic platform for social change in our city and really makes people question how they interface with people with any disability and what their attitudes, their personal value systems are. But I think more importantly, it's really about appreciating the unique skills that people like Maribel have and understanding that people with low vision or who are blind are no poorer than us. They're just different. And in fact, they've actually overcome some personal barriers that we'll never experience, hopefully, in our lives. And therefore, they excel in other areas that we'll never even think about.
Maribel, what's it like being the guide in this situation? Because I imagine that on an average street, there would be people trying to guide you, whether you need it or not sometimes. Sometimes I imagine people do approach you.
I always thank them, which is really kind. It's a really wonderful position to be in because obviously the roles are reversed. So the hardest part of the exhibition is almost that beginning phase where people come into the total darkness and you haven't quite started the exhibition, but we talk and I introduce myself and people are petrified of the unknown. And I'm there to reassure them, to be their voice in the dark. And that's what's so wonderful to me because my role is reversed and they are totally reliant on my voice, on my guidance through the exhibition as we walk through and gently go to the different areas for them to explore. But yes, it's a lot of fun because I can hear people go, oh, where am I? And
it's just fun and kind of makes you laugh too, I imagine, just a tiny bit.
Lots of bumping, lots of touching goes on and it breaks down these barriers of, oh, what's the correct way to do something?
The first time you did this, guiding people like this, what was it like in terms of that role reversal, feeling kind of, I imagine, kind of empowered in some way?
Well, in our training, we were really set to our paces. So we had the trainers from Germany come out. That's where Dialogue in the Dark originated. And they put us through our paces. And so it was almost our own colleagues putting us through these terrible scenarios so that we could cope with whatever would happen. So they were some of the most challenging. And then as we became more proficient, because we've only been going for, it's coming up to 2 months now. So family, friends were then our next guinea pigs. And it's just been quite relaxing to go into my tour guide role.
What sort of paces did they put you through?
Well, just so, you know, knowing how to get to the emergency places very quickly. What happens in cases of emergency? What do we do? What happens if you get someone who comes in who's suddenly so petrified they need to get out of the exhibition?
Yeah. Has that happened?
Not for me. It does happen in that well, when people go, oh, I'm not sure if
not
I want to go in. But then we can say, look, we can actually bring another guide in if you need an individual guide. But I think Karen had something to say there.
I think it has happened a couple of times. Mm. About in over the two-month period, we've had about 8 people who've walked into the darkness and said, oh, gee, I don't know if I can do this, and come out and just sort of calm down a little bit. And in most cases, they'll go back in and just breathe through it. And just after a couple of minutes, people just sort of take stock and really, okay, this is a whole new experience. Let's go through this. But there have been maybe 2 or 3 that have just said, you know what, I can't deal with this.
That's really interesting.
And also as the tour guide, what I must say is when people have come in that scared, we get to the end where we sit and we chat in the dark. And for me, that is the most rewarding part of the exhibition because we really just get to sit, chat and share. And these people who are first really scared sit there completely transformed.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvelis and I'm joined by Karen Hayes and Maribel Steele to talk Dialogue in the Dark. It's an exhibition introducing sighted people to the experience of being blind or experiencing that, the way to traverse the world if you don't have sight. So I imagine, as you've described, that fear is the common first reaction from people who participate. How long does it tend to take for people to work through that? I mean, how long is this journey and experience?
Well, the exhibition itself goes for an hour. So once you go into the exhibition, you're greeted by a greeter and they'll show you how to use a white cane so that you can navigate the environment with a white cane. And that sort of feeling of, okay, I'm in the dark and I've got this fear, and it does take a few minutes for them to just sort of acclimatise themselves to that new environment. But then, you know, there's usually other people around and everybody's going through the same experience. So, you know, they start to walk through it and the guide also takes them on that journey as well, and they sort of acclimatise very quickly.
And it's only a few minutes because we actually go into a very quiet space first, and when people realise it's not a ghost train, it's not like Luna Park, then they start to relax and actually start to enjoy. And a lot of people come for curiosity as well.
So it goes completely black in this space. What's there to fill the gaps?
So there's 5 different experiences, right? So one of the experiences, a really iconic side of Melbourne, is the Victoria Market. You'll experience going into the Victoria Market.
So the smell of fish must be there.
Not fish, but smell of fruit, the smell of coffee, the chitter-chatter of the vendors, you know, the noise, the hustle-bustle feeling. And once again, when your primary sense is removed, your other senses really kick in and you get this whole new experience of what it's like to be at the Victoria Market.
And also, what's really funny, in the dark, I get people, well, the guides get people to touch what's there, and it's often lots of fruit and vegetable. And this is very strange for sighted people, because often at a market, you're not just going to put your hands on everything. So some people feel really awkward, like, oh, touch all the fruit? It's like, yes, that's the experience. So we play games and things like that while we're at that part of the exhibition.
So Maribel, you talked about that conversation at the end of this journey, and that you really enjoy sitting down and talking to people at the end. How do you feel like it changes people, and how do you want it to change people?
Well, it changes people because they sit down with me and they realise that I'm actually a person first. It's got nothing to do with my disability. So we've gone through this experience together as a team, as people enjoying an experience where sight has got nothing to do with how we relate. And I find that you can't judge people in the dark. So all these judgment and preconceived ideas are all just, you know, just disappear. And we start talking about normal life. Well, how do you write on a computer? Or what is it like to cook, you know, as a vision impaired person? And we just become on a very even playing field of, you know, commonality.
Does that also involve you being open to answering people's sometimes quite ridiculous questions?
Yeah, they haven't been too ridiculous, but it's good for
people.
What's
the most ridiculous question you've ever got?
You know what? I had a feeling you were going to ask me this.
Well, you know, you've pretty much figured me out.
Funny enough, I don't think it even came from the exhibition. It did come from one child when I showed them my talking watch, and they heard it, and he said, "Who lives inside your watch?" So things like that can happen.
Kids do ask the most ridiculous questions generally, but yeah, also the most, you know, sometimes right on the money. This kid's got it right.
Sorry, here is one. Yes, I remember one that just came recently from someone who came through, maybe a 12-year-old. Do they send blind people to war?
It's a really good question.
Mm.
Unusual question for a child to ask.
Obviously, I had just been studying war, I'm guessing. Yes, they usually get obsessed with the last thing they've just learned about, at least my kids do. So, Karen, why are Guide Dogs Australia involved in this event?
This is a fantastic opportunity for Guide Dogs Australia at a number of levels. I guess from my perspective, number one is that we are employing around 30 blind and vision impaired people into this social enterprise, which is absolutely fantastic, and it's creating wonderful employment opportunities for these people and for people to see that go through the exhibition that people who are blind or vision impaired are equally employable as anybody else in the community. So I guess for me, that's the number one objective. The second objective is that education factor for the community to understand what it's like to walk in the shoes of others, you know, really take on board the social inclusion and the diversity messaging that's coming out of this experience. And what people are telling us is this is a life-changing experience. They have a whole new appreciation of the environment and of how people live in the environment. So that's the education factor for the community is significant for us as well. But also, Guide Dogs Australia has recently been awarded the most trusted charity brand in Australia for the fifth year in a row. And everybody thinks that all we do are beautiful dogs. And of course, you know, we're well known for it and we do it very well, but it really is only about 30% of what we do. The other work that we do is really work with people like Maribel to look at what is it that they need in terms of training, skills and aids for them to be able to live independently and safely and to lead the life that they choose. So we work with each individual around what their life goals are and how do we support that. So Dialogue in the Dark is also an opportunity for Guide Dogs Australia to really promote what we do outside of guide dogs.
The stated purpose behind Dialogue in the Dark is also to provide employment for the vision
Absolutely.
Impaired. Why is this an important part of the project? Are employment levels low?
They are. Blind and vision impaired people are four times more likely to be unemployed than sighted people. And, you know, we watch some of our clients who, you know, we've been working with, for example, as children, we work with people from newborns right through to people in their 90s. And you watch a child go through school and go to university and achieve really great results in university, and then they have difficulty getting employment. And it's just unfair.
It's so unfair.
And so this platform of Dialogue in the Dark is creating these opportunities for people to see firsthand that people who are blind or vision impaired, you look at somebody like Maribel, very capable, very articulate, very intelligent, that will bring great value to any organisation that they work in. And we're definitely finding this at Dialogue in the Dark with the team. We've got a fantastic team at Dialogue in the Dark who are so prepared to share their stories and share their lives with us and teach us about their life and some of the unique skills that they bring.
Maribel, is bias and discrimination a really big theme in your life? Have you seen this throughout your life?
Not so much for me, excuse me, personally. I do know it exists, but I also find, I believe it's what you put out there, and I'm always looking for the good in my community, so I feel I receive that back. But in terms of employment, there can be. I know that people think, well, if you've got a disability, we're going to have to spend lots of money to employ you and change things, and actually that's not quite the case. So what I want to say is that often blind people or people with disabilities are very good problem solvers, because problems and obstacles are a part of our daily life. So it's just, yeah, so employment is a problem, but in terms of communicating with people and people interacting, I find I have a really good relationship with my community.
So one of the projects obviously is to also end bias from the people who participate in Dialogue in the Dark. You do surveys, I understand, at the start and at the end. Do you feel like people's views shift?
Without question. And Maribel, you can probably talk to this.
I know that I hear it at the end of those tours, because people come out into the light. And what's amazing, it's only been an hour that they've been without their vision, and they come out into the light well, and suddenly they're like, oh, wow. And it's almost like they've just appeared into another world, and their concepts and ideas are just... they're just transformed. They're thinking differently. They are just so grateful to have gone through the exhibition, because I could talk to you for hours about what my life is like, but by going through this exhibition for an hour, you will feel what it's like.
Last question, not that I'm planning my weekend, but I am now. Can you bring little kids to this? Can my six-year-old come?
We have an age limit of 9 for children over 9 to come along.
We'll have to wait.
We'd love to have you come.
Just turn all the lights off in the house and, you know, put some sheets over you and maybe go for a walk around the house. Create dialogue at home.
Make sure that you keep it going. But in the absence of that, I might come alone. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thanks very much for having us,
Thank
Patricia.
You so
it's
much.
A pleasure.
Karen Hayes is the CEO of Guide Dogs Victoria, and Maribel Steele is a low vision guide for Dialogue in the Dark. Now, if you want more information, and I already do, in fact, I'm going to get on this website immediately, and you want to book tickets, go to dialogueinthedark.com.au.